Matt and Alex always come in my office, and this morning Matt asked me some questions about David and Goliath. He wanted to share with me in 1 Samuel 17 about David and Goliath. So we read it, and we're having a good old time. Then the Holy Spirit said, use some of what he said today to start the message. Say, Matt, I'm going to use some of what you said to me. He said, I won't be in there, though. I said, well, just get a copy. He said, okay, I'll get a copy. So that's what we're going to do this morning. So you don't have to turn there. I'm going to read out of the Message Bible. That's what he was using while he was in my office. But 1 Samuel, because it goes along, this goes along as he was reading it, goes along with what we're talking about when we talk about the kingdom of God. I want to get you so saturated with the kingdom of God that you'll realize that's the only way you and I as believers can function in this world. You understand that now? And we'll say some things, and hopefully your hair won't stand up straight. Fair enough? So you don't have to turn, but 1 Samuel 17 and verse 34 I'm going to start at. David said, I've been a shepherd tending sheep for my father. Whenever a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I'd go after it, knock it down, and rescue the lamb. That's what you and I are to do with the word of God. What are we supposed to do when something comes at us? Yet, what did David do? He didn't wait for Goliath to come to him. He ran after Goliath. Fair enough? It means you got to be in shape spiritually. If it turned on me, I'd grab it by the throat, wring its neck, and kill it. A lion or a bear, it made no difference. Say, it made no difference. So whatever comes your way and my way makes no difference to God, because he, through the power of the Holy Ghost in me, will take on anything and everything that comes our way. Say amen. Amen. I killed it, and I'll do the same thing to this Philistine pig. This is the Message Bible. That's kind of like the Message Bible. Who is taunting the troops of, ready for this? Who is taunting the troops of God alive. Wow, that's good. God who delivered me from the teeth of the lion and the jaws of the bear will deliver me from the Philistines. So what's he talking about? I've already had past victories, and I'm taking the past victories and moving them into today, and they'll be there again tomorrow from me. That's you and I taking the scriptures of how God helped us in the past into today, and also they'll be there for us tomorrow, still working, doing the same thing. Why? Because the Bible says Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And where does Jesus live? Where does he live? On the end. And what did Romans say? The kingdom of God is in you. Say in you. So if there's the kingdom of God in us, where does the king sit? On the throne, in us. Amen. Everything that comes our way, it's not even a challenge for us in the realm of the word of God and the kingdom of God. Amen. Say hallelujah. I'm so excited. See, we're turning over the dirt so the plant can grow. I don't want to say this, but Mark 4 says that the seed's planted and you go to sleep, and then when you wake up, you don't know how anything happened, but it's growing. See, God doesn't want us to figure out how. He just wants us to say, okay, God. Turn to your neighbor and say, okay, God. Just use me. Fair enough? God who delivered me from the teeth of the lion, the claws of the bear, will deliver me from this Philistine. Saul said, go and God help you. You see, when you're not in the spirit realm, people look at what the Lord says to you and I through his word as you're crazy. You can't do this thing. But I found out a long time ago when we were out of ministry and out of work that the kingdom principles worked. I didn't realize what was going on, but I realize now that the kingdom of God was, and I'll explain it all to you, maybe not this week or next week, I'm getting to it. The kingdom of God was at work, but he was teaching my wife and myself that the kingdom of God within us was going to work for us. When I say we were broke with no money, listen to me, we were broke with no money. There was no more money in the piggy banks. There was no check coming in. Nothing at all was coming in. When I say nothing, I'm going like this, say nothing, zero, was coming in. But what was coming in was God's plan for this New Testament church that you're sitting in. You see, God couldn't do what he wanted to do through my wife and myself with other things there. He had to literally, if you don't mind, it was the wilderness experience like Moses where there was nothing there. He had to take out what we had known and replace it with something brand new that we didn't know. Amen? We had faith, but we didn't realize how much faith it took to start a church. Then how much faith it takes to keep a church going. Amen. Say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So Saul outfitted David as a soldier in armor. Listen to this now. He put his bronze helmet on his head, belted in his sword over the armor. And David, listen now. David tried to walk and he could hardly budge. When we put on the Word of God, that's what'll work. When we put on, listen now, the soulish realm, and we go the way of the soulish realm, it's going to cause us not to move, to stumble and fall. But when we hear the, my God. See, when Jesus said to Peter, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. Wow, there's keys to the kingdom. What are the keys? The scriptures in the Word of God. So if you've had the keys, the scriptures, and you use them properly, you don't have to go in man's way or ask advice from this person or have somebody. All you need is the Word of God. Say, in my mouth, life and death. Say, life and death. James talks about the tongue being like the rudder of a ship. A rudder turns a boat. Am I correct? And if you've ever seen a super tanker, I've seen one in dry dock, I could not believe the size of the rudder compared to the size of the vessel. It was like, well, how could that happen? The tongue is a powerful entity. So we can use it for good or we can use it for evil. How many of you have had somebody say something to you that wasn't nice? Wow, that's almost like 99.9. Anybody say anything to you that was very nice? Almost the same thing. How many times have we said things to people that weren't nice? Wow, what an honest group here. How many of you had said something nice to people? All right, thank God. That's the way it should be. Can I go a little bit further now? It didn't fit him. Say it didn't fit him. He could hardly budge. See, when we put on the ways of man rather than the ways of the Spirit, it's not going to work. It's going to cause us to slow down. It's going to cause us, listen, not to make any progress at all. But when we get rid of the flesh, we get rid of the soulish realm, mind, will, and emotions that constantly tries to rule us, we'll find out there's freedom. Say freedom. Freedom. Say hallelujah, freedom. Glory to God. Listen to what it said now. David told Saul, I can't even move with all this stuff on me. I'm not used to this. See, you and I have to come to a place where we're not used to what everybody else has. I'll tell you right, I'm only used to the Holy Ghost. I'm only used to the Holy Ghost. See, I was associate pastors and I was on boards and stuff. And you know what? That religious boot people had on, if the pastor would say something the board didn't like, they'd correct them after. I got news for you. I'm free in this pulpit to preach the Word of God. Say the Word of God. Now, if I mess up and say something that's kind of stupid, the people on my board will say, you know, Pastor, you said something. Well, I'm sorry. Let me correct that next week. Fair enough? I have the freedom in the Spirit when I step into this pulpit to tell you the good news of Jesus Christ. See, that's my purpose in life. I know so many people that don't have purpose. They don't look for purpose. You can't function without purpose in your life. I found purpose when I said yes to Jesus, asked him into my life, and when I began to preach the Word of God, and I hooked up with this beautiful lady over here, hallelujah, glory to God, and she started preaching the Word of God. There ain't a devil within 200 miles of me in here. You understand that now? The Bible says in James, demons tremble at the sound of that name. And what does it say in the book of Acts? They told them they can no longer speak in the name. Nikki just preached on the name of Jesus. May I tell you, get in the Word of God and study just his name. His name will set you free. Go like this. Jesus.
Jesus.
Try it again.
Jesus.
Say, try it again.
Jesus.
Try it again.
Jesus.
Say, glory to God.
Does
it work? All the time. Well, what happens when I leave church? Are you ready? Jesus. Hallelujah. Then David took his shepherd's staff, selected five smooth stones from the brook, put them in his pocket in his shepherd's pack, and with his sling in his hand approached Goliath. As the Philistines paced back and forth, his shield bearer in front of him, he noticed David. He took one look, said down at him, and he sneered. Say down at him and he sneered. See, people that don't have Christ will look down on you and I, will look down on the church. You understand that now? Because they think we're a little bit crazy, we're a little bit nuts, because we got the power of the Holy Ghost. Say amen.
Amen.
Say amen. Listen to what it says now. He took one look at him and he sneered. A mere youngster. Listen, it's cute. Apple-cheeked and peach-fuzzed. David may have been around 16 years old. Am I a dog that you came after me with a stick? And he cursed him by his gods. Come on, said the Philistine, I'll make roadkill of you. Only it's the other way around. Jesus made roadkill of the enemy. Say a roadkill. How many of you know what that is? Amen? Glory to God. I'll turn you into a tasty morsel for the field mice. David answered him, come at me with a sword and a spirit and a battle axe. Come at you in the name of God. Listen to this now. The God of the angel armies. Say glory to God. See, anybody can come at you and I with anything they want to. They can come back words, anything at all that they want to do. It does not matter. Say, it does not matter. Because we come to them, what? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing bigger than the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I said, there's nothing bigger than the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me try that again. There's nothing bigger than the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know this doesn't happen to men very often, but women maybe more so, but there's some men that probably. You like a pair of shoes, and they don't fit you. They're too tight. About 12 heads went down. But I got to have these pair of shoes. I got to have them. It matches my outfit. How about getting a different outfit and getting a bigger pair of shoes? I got to have them. And when you walk into the place you're going in and you're wobbling and just about falling over, holding onto the walls, and they think that you're drunk, really, your shoes are too tight for you. Sometimes that happens in the realm of the spirit. God says, do this, and we want to try something else because it looks good. What looks good doesn't always work with God. Saul tried to do that on David. Here, put all this armor on because you can't fight this guy without the armor. But things don't fit in the natural. Shed it, get rid of it, and put on the spirit, put on the word of God. Say, put on the word of God. Say, put on the word of God. Put it on, put it on, put it on. Say, hallelujah, put it on. Are you ready now? The God of Israel's troops, whom you curse and mock, this very day God is handing you over to me. I'm about to kill you. I like that. See the mouth, confessions made. What's he saying? Exactly what God told him to say. I am going to kill you, cut off your head. Remember when Jamie preached? David didn't have a sword. But why would he say, cut off your head? Because David did have a sword. What was the sword? Right there. What he was saying. He said, I'm going to kill you. That was the sword coming out of his mouth, because the Bible says the sword, the word of God, is a two-edged sword. Say two-edged. What does two-edged mean? It means two mouths. It means the logos, this book here, when we speak it out of our mouth, becomes the rhema. That's when action begins to take place. Amen? So go like this. Boy, you even used the, wow, that's good. Try that again. Cut off your head and serve your body and the bodies of your Philistine, listen, buddies to the crows and the coyotes. See, when Jesus defeated Satan, everybody that was on his team got defeated too. Say, everybody got defeated. Uh-huh. Say, everybody. Everyone gathered here will learn that God doesn't save by means of a sword or a spear. Listen now. The battle belongs to God. Whenever you're facing something in life, say this with me. The battle belongs to God. He's handing you to us on a platter. Say, hallelujah. That roused the Philistines, and he started towards David. David took off from the front line, running toward the Philistine. David reached into the pocket for a stone, slung it, hit the Philistine hard in the forehead, embedding the stone deeply. The Philistine crashed face down into the dirt. That's how David beat the Philistine, with a sling and with a stone. Go like this. I got the word. Watch out, man. And then you let it go. How do you let it go? Out of your mouth. Say, out of my mouth. Don't ever say, woe is me. How you doing? Oh, you know, pretty good. No, you're not doing pretty good. You're doing great. Because what this mouth says, your body will react to it. Listen to the next verse. He ran up, stood over the Philistine, over him, pulled the giant sword from his sheath, finished the job by cutting off his head. When the Philistines saw their great champion was dead, they scattered, running for their lives. That's what Jesus did to Satan. He now has the keys of what? Say death, hell, and the grave. Amen? Now, put up those scriptures if you don't mind. We're going to look at a few scriptures. Everything that Jesus did when he came was about the kingdom. Say the kingdom. Did you ever hear Jesus preach a message about prosperity? How about healing? How about the cross? No, his death. The things that we kind of take for granted, Jesus never talked about them, but yes, he did. Because when he talked about the kingdom, inside the kingdom is everything that we need. Look at some of these scriptures. From the first time Jesus began to preach, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is what?
Here.
Where is it?
Here.
What did, guess what John the Baptist said when he came into public ministry? Repent, for the kingdom of, he said the same thing. Don't forget that these two moms got together when they were both pregnant, am I right? And who leaped in the womb? Ah, because they had the same message and the same mission to accomplish. How many of you ever seen a relay race? In a relay race, what do you have? You have a baton. How many times has folk dropped the baton and they've been in the front? Unfortunately. What does that mean? You lost time, you'll probably lose the race. Well, John was passing off the baton to Jesus. Go like this, passing it on to Jesus. Then Jesus passed it on to the disciples. And then guess what? The Holy Ghost is passing it on to us. We're not losing a race. I said we're not losing a race. This one, any race, we're not losing it. Say we're not losing it. So what did Jesus come to preach? Say the kingdom of heaven. Am I right? Now, go over to Acts real quick. I want to show you something. The Lord just, no, I was just praying. He said, go take a look at this. And I had read this so many times. Go to Acts. Now, understand, the kingdom of God and the kingdom is mentioned over 150 times. That means somebody's trying to say something. Am I right? So go to Acts, the very first chapter. This is so good. Say, this is going to be good. Do you ever go to a restaurant and they bring you the desserts out and they're all plastic? Yeah, well, this ain't plastic. Look at the first chapter. We'll start the second verse. Until the day when he ascended after he, through the Holy Spirit, had instructed and commanded the apostles, special messengers, whom he had chosen. Now listen to this, verse 3. To them also he showed himself alive. This was after what? He died and rose from the dead. Say he's dead, but he never really died. He rose, and say he rose from the dead. God, I want you to hear this now. He showed himself alive after his passion, his suffering in the garden and on the cross by a series of many convincing demonstrations, unquestionable evidences, and infallible proofs. How many of you are getting ready now? Here comes the punchline. Appearing to them during 40 days. So how long did this go on? 40 days. Say 40 days. And he talked about the things of the kingdom of God. He did this his whole earthly ministry. And then when he rose from the dead, what was he doing? Still talking about the kingdom. That's got to ring the dinner bell for everybody. It's got to ring the dinner bell of our spirit that I need to know more about what in the world is the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. Say, I got to know. I have to have a hunger and a thirst for that. Amen. Give me some more scripture if you don't mind. Jesus went through all Galilee, teaching in their synagogue, preaching the good news of the kingdom. And guess what? Healing every disease and sickness of the people. So was he preaching a healing message? No, but yes, he was, because he carried with him what? The kingdom. That's kingdom principles. The Bible says that what's in heaven, Jesus said it's coming down here. How do we release it? Through our mouth. Say, through our mouth. Say, give me another scripture. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Go ahead, give me another one. For I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. Give me another one. My goodness. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So what we're doing is bringing kingdom principles, kingdom authority here to earth. All right? Now, when the Bible says in Genesis that God gave Adam and Eve, say, dominion. Over what? The earth. Say the earth. The word dominion and the word kingdom are the same words. So what was Jesus coming to do? Coming to replace that dominion inside of you and I and inside the church. Go over to Luke for a minute. Luke 4:18. Let's try that one for a minute. Listen to what it says in Luke 4:18. We've shared this so many times. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me, the anointed one, the Messiah, to preach the good news, the gospel to the poor. He sent me to announce release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set forth as delivered those who were oppressed, who are downtrodden, bruised, crushed, broken down by calamity. As we get into Matthew 6, the Sermon on the Mount, we'll find out this is what he did when he went into the synagogue to preach. He was basically saying the same thing. Are you ready? Go look at the next verse. Powerful stuff. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day when salvation and the free favors of God profusely abound. That's called the year of Jubilee. Every 50 years, anybody who was a slave, anybody at all who had had something taken from them was given back to them. You can also say this, a new beginning. Say new beginning. So when Jesus came and he said this, now listen to me, it gets a little bit better as we go now. And then he rolled up the book, gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all the synagogue were gazing intently at him. One reason is because of what he said. Nobody ever heard anything like this. See, religious people don't want to hear it. How many of you want to hear it? Because we're not a religious crowd. Amen? And then he sat down. Say he sat down. Rod Parsley preached this probably 20 years ago. I never forgot it. He said he sat down in a chair that was reserved for the Messiah. So why were they upset? What he said, and you can't sit there. He said, it's being fulfilled right now in me. What happened after that? They wanted to stone him. They wanted to kill him. But what does the Bible say? He walked through the crowd. Well, how come they didn't see him? I don't know, and I don't care. All I know is he made it to the cross because that was his final destiny. Amen? So they couldn't do that, but he was making a proclamation, the kingdom of God is being fulfilled right now. So if you have had something lost, stolen, and taken away, I claim the year of Jubilee on top of you and on top of me. He can't have it. Doesn't belong to him. If you go over to Matthew when he's in the wilderness, Jesus, notice this if you don't mind. The Bible says the Spirit of God led him into the wilderness. Who did? The Holy Ghost led him. Say the Holy Spirit led him into. There you go. And if you read at the end of that, it said, and the angels came and ministered to him, and the Holy Ghost is still there working. Amen. When you look at the fact that Jesus was given to Mary, she was birthed by the Holy Spirit that hovered over her, no man made this baby. It was a sinless baby because the Holy Ghost. He was in Jesus from day one, and he's on the inside of you and I today. Amen? And then what happened? He began to preach this message about the kingdom. Say, the kingdom of God. That king. Well, Pastor, you're kind of like, keep repeating that. We need to get a hold of it. So many of the church doesn't have a hold of the principles of the kingdom of God. Jesus said, I'm going to give you the keys. Guess what the keys are? The keys are the scriptures that we speak out of our mouth. Say the keys of the kingdom. How many times I've caught myself speaking what I wanted to say rather than what the word of God said. And you know what? That leads to trouble. But when you speak the word of God and you lift your hands up in victory and you begin to praise God, watch out. Nothing, say nothing, can stand in your way. Say nothing. Say hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's read some more scripture. I'm having fun reading the scripture. We'll do a few more. Seek his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you what? As well. Say seek first. Say, turn to your neighbor and say, seek first the kingdom. Well, what does it mean to seek something? Here's the definition of the word seek. Now, who's saying this? Say, Jesus is saying to you and I, seek first. We'll talk about first maybe next week. I don't think I have time this week. But first speaks of priority. That's it. It's priority. How many have priorities in your life? How many other places you don't have priorities? You need to get them. The word seek means this. It means to pursue. Jesus isn't going to pursue. But you know what he gave us? Say, the Holy Ghost on the inside of us to help us. What does the Bible say in John 14? The Holy Spirit, one of his attributes is what? He's a helper. Say a helper. So who can we call on? The Holy Spirit, because Jesus left him because he was leaving, and he said he's just like I am. And that word there in the Greek, the word comforter, refers to somebody who's identical. Say an identical twin. Say an identical twin. My wife had twin brothers. They were identical. I always had a problem trying to figure out which one was which. I remember one day they went to school and one wasn't good in one class and the other was good in the other one. They switched places. The teacher never knew it. Here's another word that seek means study. The Bible says, study to show yourself approved, a workman not to be ashamed, rightly dividing, say it with me, rightly dividing the word of truth. So if the way is a rightly, there's also a wrongly. I know when we talk about baptism in the Holy Spirit, and the Bible says there was evidence in Acts chapter 2, they began to speak in other tongues. And there are people today that still say, well, that's of the devil. And I've asked those kind of people, well, where does it say that in the word? Well, it doesn't. Well, then you throw it out. My vocabulary is the word of God. If you don't understand something, you don't call it a devil. I got a lot of things in my life I don't understand, but I don't call it the devil. Jesus said, go wait for the promise and tarry for the promise of the Father, which was what? The Holy Ghost being an infilling on the inside of you. Hallelujah. Say hallelujah. See, you can't go one step in front of the other. In the world we're living in, I can't even drive by the news channel. It's horrendous because God is not in our culture. He's been removed. He's been thrown out in the garbage. But you and I, as the church of Jesus Christ, have the King of Kings working on the inside of us. Say glory to God. Remember, our pastor came, I forgot his name, but he said, you live in an economy, in an economy. I didn't understand that, but I do now, because we have an earthly economy, do we not? This goes up and this goes down, and this is better than we thought. This is worse than we thought. There's an economy in the economy. The economy is the kingdom of God on the inside of us. The world talks about there's a poverty level. What's the poverty level today? Anybody know? Did Jesus ever talk about a poverty level in the kingdom of God? Why not? There's no such thing in the kingdom of God. Say there's no such thing as a poverty level. But the world talks about it. So if you get in the system of the world and you start getting yourself out, then they start pulling away and they keep you trapped. The system of the world keeps you trapped so you can't go anywhere. Jesus never preached about prosperity, but yes, he did. Because in the message of the Sermon on the Mount, what does he talk about? Sowing and reaping. That's the economy in the kingdom of God. Now, I think I mentioned this, but I thought about the different fruits and the number of seeds, and it was the pomegranate I knew had a lot of seeds. So I studied a little bit, and this was amazing to me, but it said there are 612 seeds in a pomegranate. So I thought that was strange because wouldn't you say there's over 600? But it was 612. Now, I haven't gotten a pomegranate and cut it open and count the seeds. If you want to do that, fine. Just don't let me know what you find. But the Torah has 612 commandments. God doesn't do anything by accident. But if I put a seed of any kind into the ground, I asked the pastor this the other day. I always ask people. I just like making them laugh a little bit. If I give you an apple seed, Pastor, what's in it? He said, an apple. I said, no. What's in that? Well, a tree. No. He said, where are you going, Pastor? I said, I don't know. Where are you going? He said, orchards, after orchards, after orchards. Say after orchards. So listen to me now. Can there ever be poverty in the kingdom of God? Can there ever be poverty here? Why didn't Jesus talk about poverty? Because there was no poverty in the Garden of Eden. Was there any poverty in the garden? When did it start? When sin entered in. You don't have to be broke another day in your life. If you put the word of God in your mouth and begin to speak it by faith. This is a Pastor Paulism. Say, Pastor Paulism. When they wanted to feed all those people, Jesus says, what do you have? What do you have? 5 loaves, 2 fishes. And this is me talking. This is Jesus talking. Oh, more than I thought. But what did the disciples say? How is this going to feed all of that? Where Jesus, coming from the kingdom of God, said, we got more than I thought we had. Now, what did Jesus do next? He looked up. Don't look down. Too many people are looking down. They're getting killed looking at their phones. I'm looking up unless there's pizza on my plate, and I'm going to make sure, put my hand on it before I look. Don't you touch that now. He looked up, and what did he do? He gave thanks. For what? The seed that the little boy brought to him. Little is much when God is in it. He gave thanks. Say, he gave thanks. But he didn't have it yet. Yes, he did. Say, yes, he did. Because we don't go by what we see, we go by what we know. Did not Jesus say, you're in the world, but you're not of it? Guess what? That isn't the case anymore. We're so involved with the world that we become so much a part of the world that we kind of leave by the kingdom principles. But Jesus said, say this with me now, I'm the light of the world. Say, I'm the light. And when there's enough darkness around, we're going to be like a lighthouse just shining our light. We're the salt of the earth. We're going to make things and season them so they start tasting good rather than just bland. Here we go. I'm going to kick the sacred cow. If there's any left, we'll find out in a minute. Ooh, there's one. I'm not making fun of anybody. I'm on a fixed income. That's what the world says you are. But it doesn't say that in the kingdom of God. How could you have a fixed income if you're applying sowing and reaping? You're not. Say, I'm not. But all I get is this check and this check. That's because we're limiting God with our eyes about what's coming in. Because if we apply sowing and reaping, not just with monies, but we apply sowing and reaping when it comes to giving love. The Bible says pure religion undefiled is what? Taking care of the widows. That big building next door over there with 100,000 square feet is taking care of the needs of the widows. That's what you're doing. See, you're already doing it without knowing about it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Say, glory to God. You see, those kind of things are the language of the world, but it's not the language of the kingdom of God. There's no reason for anybody to be in a poverty situation. We get in a poverty situation and stay there because of what comes out of our mouth. There's no need for you to be in a fixed income category your whole life because God will cause the economy of the kingdom on the inside of you to just explode. See, for years, when they were taking a special offering up, I would say, boy, I'd like to put something in, but I don't have it. Because I didn't get a hold of this kingdom concept. You understand? Brother Ted, I don't know if you ever tell it here, he had a $20 bill and a $1 bill in his pocket. And they were taking a special offering up. So he said, well, Lord, I need the 20 to buy some gas. And so he put the one in. The Lord said, no, put the 20 in. He said, I can't. He said, now put all 21 in. He said, no sooner had he got up and turned around and walked out, people were walking up to him with Pentecostal handshakes, and he wound up with over $500. Don't tell me it doesn't work. It works. Say it works. See, we want to figure out how he's going to do it, and how am I going to get to that point when if we would just release everything we have unto the King of Kings and Lord, go like this, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Say, I release it all to you right now. You and I shouldn't be poverty stricken in the natural or in the realm of the spirit. We should never be poverty stricken in the realm of the spirit. We've got to change some of the things we're doing from the preacher all the way back. We've got to change some of the things we're doing. Don't rely on what the world is doing because that's all going to fall apart. But if you be relied on the kingdom of God and Jesus Christ, who's the King of Kings, and he sits on the throne of our lives, we're going to see supernatural things happen in your life, in my life, and in the life of this church. We're overdue for some supernatural great miracles in this church. We're positioned to see wheelchairs come down full and then leave empty. We're positioned to see people on crutches come back and the crutches don't go with them. We're coming down where people will be led because they're blind, and God will open their blind eyes in Jesus. My God. We're positioned for a breakout. Say, we're positioned. Say, we're positioned. Those things aren't coming. They're already there. But we've got to get them here with our mouth. I heard my wife telling the story about that young lady out there. Everywhere we go, we got to go back. We got to go back and tell this young lady about Jesus. Why? Because that's why we're here on planet Earth, to tell people about the wonderful kingdom. I'm looking for a church that's lively. We both went. Say lively. Full of the Holy Ghost. When you leave this place, you're going to be lively and full of the Holy Ghost. When tomorrow morning comes and you wake, or whatever your shift may be, you're going to rise with your hands in the air and begin to give him praise and thanksgiving, because that day is going to be better than the day before. Hallelujah. Say glory to God. Say glory to God. Let me give you two more here and we'll go home. Fair enough? So when the Bible says, Jesus said, seek first, it means to pursue. What happens when you pursue something? You go after it. I pursued my wife and I went after her. Study. What does it mean to study? How many of you are in college? Do you study? Is it difficult sometimes? Yes, it is. But if you don't study, you won't what? I had Amanda look this up a few years ago. When James said this, he said, don't be just a hearer only, but a doer. And she looked it up for me, and she found out that a hearer is somebody who takes a class but doesn't take it for credit. They audit the class. That means they don't have to bring a book. They don't have to show up on time. They don't have to share their coffee and their donuts. They can come. They don't have to take the quiz because they're not doing it for credit. But James says this. What does he say? Don't be just a hearer. So the word comes to the church today. Don't be just a hearer on a Sunday morning and say, well, pastor, that was really good. I got that word. Thank you, Jesus. And you go out and live like hell all week long. But what does that mean? That means you're not living according to the word of God. You're doing things that are opposite of the word of God. I always think this way. Would Jesus say that? Could I invite Jesus to sit at this table? Can I invite him into my conversation? If I can't, I got to change something. Say, I got to change something. He means this. Be a hearer, no, but a doer. That means a performer of the word. Say, a performer of the word. Say, a performer of the word. Give you two more words and we'll be out of here. Fair enough? It means this. It means to explore. It means this. It means seek means to understand. See, we have to have an understanding of the word. If not, we'll get messed up because the enemy will listen to our conversation. Well, they don't understand that. This is a good opportunity to jump in. Here's another word. To learn. When you learn something, what do you need to do? Apply it. Say apply it. How many of you have learned CPR? And that's when what? They give you a dummy. They give you a dummy. And you're supposed to do what? Well, the first time I ever took that class, I put my hands on the chest and blew out the whole bladder. So I flunked the class. Here's the last one. To consider. If we're going to seek, that means we've got to do what? We've got to consider. Say consider. So when the Bible says, and Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God, study it. I can't go with you. If a doctor gives you a prescription, he doesn't come with you and say, did you take this today? Got to take it with me. Does the doctor do that? He's giving it to you to do it because you're responsible and I am. I can't go with you as your pastor, but the Holy Ghost is with you to get the job done. Last scripture verse. Turn over real quick to Hebrews, and then we're going to go home. Fair enough? How many of you are getting something today? I'm getting some, Pastor. Last scripture verse, Hebrews 10:23, we're all done. This is what it says in the King James. Let us hold fast the profession. Say profession. Profession means in the Greek, say confession. If you'd be surprised how many times Jesus said something in the Bible. I couldn't believe my eyeballs when I saw it. 1,900 plus times he said something. That's something for me to grab a hold of. And if God said it, guess what I'm going to do? Profession of our faith without wavering. That means we speak the word by faith without saying, oh God, how is he going to do this? Well, you're not on a surfboard. You're cool. You're on the shore sipping some lemonade. Listen to what it says in the Amplified. So let us seize, say seize, hold fast, and retain without wavering the hope we cherish. Here's the word profession. And confess and our knowledge of it. For he who promised, say he who promised, is reliable, sure, and faithful to his word. So guess what? Here's the keys to the kingdom. And if I will say these out of my mouth, I'll start unlocking things. I'll show what kind of authority I have. Those who have been watching by television, internet, however you may have gotten this message, I want you to know that Jesus Christ loves you. He appreciates you. He cares everything for you. Because the Bible said Jesus gave his life for you and I. You and I didn't have to suffer the penalty of sin because he took it on the cross of Calvary. And then he rose from the dead, sits at the right hand of God the Father, and he still cares about you and I today. If you'd like to ask Christ into your life, Harvest Church, stand right where you are. Real quick, I'd appreciate that. Say this prayer and Harvest Church will join me. Jesus, thank you for dying in my place on Calvary. Thank you for taking my sins and removing them from me with your precious blood. I thank you for that today. And today I ask Christ into my life and ask that he take my life and use it for his honor and glory. Everybody says this, Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. If you've made a confession that we've just said here as a corporate group at Harvest Church, Jesus Christ has come into your life. Well, Pastor, I don't feel anything different. You may not feel anything till the next day, but I'm telling you something, you've already been changed by the power of God. Find yourself a good Bible-believing church that preaches out of the Word of God. Find out your pastor's vision, whatever it may be, and say, Pastor, I want to help you. I want to support you in any way I can to see that vision fulfilled. Amen? God bless you.